Well, every time they sing that song, when they say, when I think of what he's done, where he's brought me from, I tell you what, like Brother Blue used to say, that'd crank a tractor on a cold morning. Turn with me to John chapter 1 for just a little while tonight. Pray this will be a blessing to you. John chapter 1, verse number 6. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Father, we pray, Lord, you'd take it. Father, Lord, use it tonight, Father, for your glory. Father, and your honor. God, I pray, Lord, you give me unction, Lord, to preach your word tonight. And Lord, we'll thank you, and Lord, we'll praise you. God, for everything that's accomplished. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. I'd like to take my text from verse number 7, where he says, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. I want to focus on through him tonight. How do we accomplish anything in this life? Through him. How do we get saved? How do we get born again? It's through him. We're kept by the power of God. That's through him. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. We see it from cover to cover that this book is about one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought about all through this life that we go through, all the things that we face, we go through it. He goes through it with us. No matter what we face, we know that he's faithful to go with us. But he goes with us, not only with us, he's there as a help in present time of need. I know my wife can attest to this. In the last 3 years, we went through a lot with people we've known. There's three young men that used to work with me down in Dalton, Georgia at three different times. And I tried to be a witness and a light to them. I tried to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, about 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, one of them was my nephew. Went in his bedroom, told his mom good night, went in his bedroom, and they went to wake him up the next morning. And they tried to open the door, and they couldn't get it open, so they had to pry it open. And they found him with a needle in his arm. He didn't commit suicide. She said, I know he didn't do that, but he died of an overdose. There's another young man that worked with me. Same way. Used to go to church with him. Matter of fact, my nephew, we used to take him to church all the time at Maranatha when Brother Roger was pastor. And the other one, one of the others, 38 years old, just got a call a few months ago that he had died of an overdose. That's two men, young men that worked with me, 38 years old and 41. And just back in the summertime, this young man came that used to work with me down in Dalton. He came to our house knocking on the door. So we let him in. He was wringing wet with sweat, and he had walked all the way from Highway 66 to my house, which is a long ways, wringing wet with sweat. And like we always have, we've always befriended him. You know, I don't know if this was the day or the day after he came knocking on the door again, but that day he asked us to take him somewhere, and we took him and dropped him off. The next morning he came to the house, knocked on the door, hungry. We fed him. We've always tried to help him. We've had him keep his money for him. He'd come back and get it. You see, sin grabs a hold of you. Sin does. It just does. I've been there. I know how it is. But anyway, he asked us to take him up here to White Pine. We took him up there to White Pine after he got through eating. Talked about the Lord all the way up there. When he got out, I gave him a tract. Then I gave him three tracts. I said, do something for me, which I'd done this before. I gave him three tracts. I said, promise me you'll read these. He said, I promise I'll read them. 2 weeks later, we got a call. 2 weeks later, his ex-wife said, DJ's dead. That's three young men. They all worked with me. The seed was sowed. We sowed the seed. We watered the seed. All these young men, they know the truth. I don't know in my heart whether any of them were truly born again. But we can only go so far. But all they had to do was a childlike faith and trust him. All they had to do was believe what the Word of God says. And we gave them and gave them and gave them the Word of God. That's all we can do. When she called us and told him he was dead, you know what they found him? They found him up here 2 miles. 2 miles from where we dropped him off at. And the police said, we're going to do an autopsy, but apparently he died of an overdose. Three young men. Listen, young people, don't ever be tempted into doing those drugs. They'll just drain you down. But listen, no matter what you go through, through him, we're more than conquerors. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We have nothing in our flesh that we can fight with. We don't have anything. We don't have any tools in our tool belt to fight the devil and to fight this flesh. That's the reason when we get down and pray, we need to have God build a hedge about our children, about our church. And the devil wants to tear down and he wants to destroy. But through the Word of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have victory. We can do that. But it takes parents being sturdy with their children and say, no, I'm not going to give it. I know you want to do this, but no, you're not going to do it. The people always say, well, I trust my child. There's the difference. You said child. Your children are still a child. If they're 30 years old, they're still your child. And you want to watch over them. You don't want them to ever let them go. We have 60-something nieces and nephews. We never had any children. I can't tell you how many we used to bring to church up at Maranatha to try to get the Word of God sown in their hearts to where they would know. But they can still stumble and they can still fall. I had a cousin, he's a little older than me. Called to preach and everything. And I know this has happened to more than others. He got cancer and he just gave up. You know where they found him? They found him sitting under a tree with his wrist sliced. He just sat there until all the blood ran out of his body. That's what the devil will do to you. I don't care if you're a Christian. I don't care if you're lost. That devil, that's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy your life and my life. But through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we're overcomers. We're more than overcomers. But we need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16, everybody knows it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to the world what? Through him. Through him. It's always through him. It's always when we have victory in our life, we don't have anything to brag about. It's always through him. It's through him. And what? We don't have anything except for the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know what's going to happen the next day, but we all know that he's going to be faithful. He's going to be faithful to us no matter what happens. In Romans chapter 5, you don't have to turn there, just a verse or two. In verse number 8 of Romans chapter 5 says, but God commended his love toward us And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath. How? Through him. It's always through him. It's always through the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, when we face something in our lives, the only way that we're going to ever get through it is through him. We're just helpless without him. We might as well throw up our hands and say, forget it, I can't do it. I got news for you. No, you can't do it. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ, but through him we can do it. We can get the victory, but we cannot give up. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants us to give up, but I'm not giving up. Glory to God. Romans chapter 8. Verse number 36. As it is written, for thy sake ye are killed all the day long. For you are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, here it is, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor any things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That says it all. That says it all. It's all through him. It's all through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 11, in verse number 36, Paul has got a lot to say that helps God's children. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Forever and ever. Acts? No, turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Some of these I don't have marked, so I'll just have to find them. Ephesians chapter 2. And verse number 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. How do we get to the Father? It's through the Son. It's through him. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. If nobody can be saved outside the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Nobody can save. You know how somebody's saved? It's through him. You know how the Hindu gets saved? It's through him. You know how the Buddhists get saved? It's through him. You know how the Catholics get saved? It's through him. Their religion will send them to hell. But through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ, that thou shalt confess thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Simple as that. For I don't care who you are. If we sow this word of God, if these missionaries, like our brothers that's here tonight, these missionaries, they go out and they go to these foreign countries and they preach the word of God. You know what they preach? They preach the Lord Jesus, because they know that it's through him. It's through the one that they preach is how what's going to get them saved. He knows that. That's the reason when he goes out to preach the word of God, and our missionaries, and we support a bunch of missionaries. And I love it when they come here and they tell the stories about. I used to love Brother Tommy Tillman. Boy, he'd come. I first met him at Maranatha. He'd come and he'd talk about the Lord Jesus all the time. He'd talk about what went over and how he loved those people. And people say you can't love them to Jesus. I believe Tommy Tillman would have begged to borrow. You have to win people's trust. And Brother Tommy Tillman, if you don't know him, you miss somebody. You're saved. You get to see him in heaven one day. But these lepers, they'll test you. He said they come up one day and sit beside him, and sitting there eating. He'd reach over in Tommy Tillman's plate and got him a bite to eat. Well, Tommy Tillman just reached over there in third plate. and he got him about to eat out of their plate. And said that leper just started bawling, just started crying. Why? Because he proved that he loved them people. Yeah. See, that's what it takes, people. We gotta love people. But he said, now, people have told me all my life that they love me. He said, but you showed me that you love me. You showed me that you love me. Amen. I'll never forget, he said, when he was preaching one time, and this man come in, he come in late, and on his nubs, and he said, brother, so-and-so, he was bleeding, he'd come down the aisle, and he was bleeding. He said, Brother, you need to go clean yourself up. He told him his address. Brother, he said, you need to go clean that up. He said, brother, I know, but Lord laid these village people on, they laid them on my heart to tell them about Jesus. He says, that's where I've been this morning. He said, I went to tell them people about Jesus. And he said, well, brother, now you need to go home now and clean that up. He says, well, brother, I can't right now because the Lord laid another village on my heart. See, people, watch it. It's a condition of our heart. It's whether we want to do something for the Lord or not. It's a condition of our heart. Let me read this to you. Everybody heard of a missionary named William Carey? He said that he was in a missionary meeting one time, and he brought up this proposal to him for the discussion. This was in Nottingham. He says the duty of Christians is to attempt to spread of the gospel among the heathen. Well, they made him sit down. They didn't want to hear it. They don't want to hear that the heathen need to be saved. Anyway, when he was 18 years old, he became the pastor of a small church in Barton, walking 6 miles each way. Wait a minute. Did everybody drive a car tonight? Became a pastor of a small church at Barton, walking 6 miles each way, and was paid less than $75 a year. Boy, he was a prosperity preacher, wasn't he? He was a prosperity preacher if I ever seen one. Don't get me into that. Prosperity preachers. And he said these two things. He said, expect great things from God. And he says, attempt great things for God. Pretty wise man, wasn't he? Amen. Pretty wise man. I got one here I'll save for last. I won't be much longer. This is another. It's a little bit more reading, but I believe the Lord will bless you. This is another missionary called David Brainerd. It says, being chosen, and now, whether you know it or not, you're chosen. If God's got a job for you to do, he's chose you to do the job. Being chosen as a missionary, he reduced his belongings to the barest necessities of clothing and said goodbye to his friends. On horseback, he turned his face to the forest, which was a pathless wild. During the next 5 years, he followed a career that has had few equals. According to John Wesley, most people have heard of him, his work was unmatched for spiritual insight and blessedness. Wesley advised his preachers to read Brainerd's journal when their souls became dry and their parish work difficult. Had he done nothing else but leave his sacred literature as an inspiration for future generations, his life investment in God's kingdom would have been worthwhile. He did far more, however, in Christian annals. There are few records of the Holy Spirit as so moving upon the heathen people as he did among the Sasquatchian Indians. I probably didn't announce it right. Under Brainerd's ministry, it was a genuine revival matching those of Whitfield, Finney, and Moody. God was backing of it. God was back of it. God was doing it. See, it was through him. It was through him. And the Spirit spoke to the Indians through this man, holy, consecrated to him. Wherever, this is where it gets interesting. Wherever he went, David was divinely protected. On his very first journey, when he came to the forks of the Delaware River, he heard of a ferocious tribe living back in the New Jersey forest. He determined to visit them with the gospel. The Spirit led him safely where other men would have been murdered. When he arrived at the encampment, much to his amazement, he was welcomed by the Red Men's host. He had expected fiery arrows and possibly death by being skinned alive. But instead, the natives were friendly and even showed signs of being delighted with his arrival. Wow. That's something, ain't it? Amen. Listen. Shortly, he learned the truth. When it was rumored that a white man was to visit the settlement, a band of warriors went out, as usual, to kill him. They reached his tent at night, and when he slipped up to drive a dagger or shoot an arrow through his heart, they saw the pale face on his knees in prayer. As he prayed, a large rattlesnake uncoiled and lifted its head ready to strike. Its long tongue licked back and forth, and then, without reason, the rattler glided away into the brush. The Great Spirit is with this pale face, they said the Indians, and permitted him to finish his journey to their settlement. His life among the wild tribes proved strenuous beyond his dreams. He traveled many miles on foot through the forest where only wild animals and sure-footed Indians had been. He spent long weeks in the rain, slept on the ground when snow littered the trees and the water ran heavy under his blankets. He ate what foods the forest provided, often living off berries and nuts. Once he spent 3 days in a hollow log in prayer. Wow, that kind of makes me feel a little, wow, that's all I can say. 3 days in a hollow log in prayer. Daily, and small squirrels brought nuts. I like this. A small squirrel brought nuts which it had laid near the opening. On these, David kept himself alive. He believed that this was a kind of providence which provided his food. A little small squirrel. If God can use a squirrel, how much more can he do with a willing soul that's willing to just go out and do what God has sent him to do? All this man was doing was his calling. That's what he was doing. He was doing what God had called him to do. But he was able to do that because he knew he was doing it through him. He was doing it through the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary mentioned that. I think it was Victoria this morning he was talking about. Listen to this one. It was a special day on May the 18th, 1994, about a year after my brother had gotten saved. I had seen how that God had changed his life, being that he was a practicing homosexual, and that the Lord had done miracles in his life, giving him a wife and 3 beautiful kids. A lot of people don't think, oh, that's possible. A homosexual? Yeah. Yeah. The Lord had done miracles in his life, giving him a wife and 3 beautiful kids. And listen to this now. Don't faint or nothing. And he preaches the gospel at church and in local prisons. I was ready to give up and everything, quit my job, and give up on me. Then a girl I worked with spoke to me about the Lord, and I wanted to know if I wanted to pray with her. So I did. That was the beginning of a great healing in my life. After years of hating anything, and all that I had to do was with a female gender, I knew proudly, have long hair, well longer. I'm working on it, because you know what you're talking about, how to butch off their hair and stuff. But so now I am free. He says, I walk in churches wearing nice dresses and am free and not afraid of having relationship with other ladies. And she's talking about having fellowship with other ladies. Believe me that people giving up on people. Says, I believe that many people give up too soon, or their gospel is too watered down or weak to do anything about their situation, seeing that even in my hometown, people said, send so-called hard cases to our church. I guess it's hard to help a drunk when you believe in social drinking. God showed me in the scriptures why we are bent towards inordinate relationships. She says, just read Romans chapter 1. You think the Lord can't use people? You think the Lord don't use his word to save people? And that practicing homosexual that's got a wife and three kids and preaches the word of God. I guarantee you, there's a lot of preachers, there's a lot of pastors, but wouldn't let a man like that in their pulpit. He was a man of God. He got saved by the grace of God. We're no cleaner than he is. The same blood washed our sins away, washed his sins away, washed her sins away.
That's right.
I said this morning, judge not, lest you be judged also. It might have been Brother Tony said that. Two kinds of judgment. You stick your fingers out, you point in yours, and you got this many coming back at yourself. Victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's going to be. It's through him. It's by him. How many miles would you walk to come to church? Would you face a bunch of savage Indians to do what God called you to do? Yeah. Puts us kind of ashamed on it. We can go home to our nice warm homes and don't have to worry about that, do we? But others do. Others have to worry about that. But through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ, they have a chance if we tell them about Jesus. It's through him, people. Through him, church. I can do all things through Christ. If we do anything that's accomplished in this life, it says I can do. Brother Barry said it this morning, all things. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I never in my dreams, you could ask my wife how we lived, I'd have never in my life said, God, you'd never call me to preach. If somebody told me I was going to preach the word of God, and I tell you what, I'm blown away. But I tell you what, I'm going to be honest and I'll hush. It's been about 2 years ago. I had some things, I'll just say some things. My heart wasn't right. It wasn't right at all. Pastor come, he's done this twice. I've had to do it two separate times. He's come to me, just like he did this week. He said, Brother, you pray for me Wednesday, you preach for me Sunday night. And I called him to the side and I said, Brother, I said, I don't feel like the Lord wants me to behind that pulpit preaching the word of God right now. He said, I understand. He said, I understand. I did that twice since I've been here 25 years. Man of God should never be behind this pulpit if God don't want him here at a certain time. Don't, if you're a preacher, don't ever, ever be ashamed to say, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I feel like God don't want me to. Brother Robbie Cox, a lot of people don't know Robbie Cox. he had a thing with that electrical something, and he said, I don't want to get near that electrical. My heart's not right. His heart wasn't right with God. And he wouldn't even get rid of it. He wouldn't even get an extra electrical panel. Wow, that's bad, ain't it? But God restores. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God restores.
Amen.
There were times I just wanted to quit. My wife, she probably didn't know it at all. She might have seen me. We've been married for 47 years. She sees a lot of things I don't see. But, I came ever, even when I told him that I couldn't, I come back, I preach, I sit right there every Sunday. I sit every Sunday. And it was so hard to sit there and sit there and sit there and sit there. And God would not let me. He let me go for a long time before he would let me preach again. You know how I got to be able to preach again? Through him. Through him. Through him. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, that you just help us. Lord, that you just give us a vision. Lord, that like these men and Father, in this book here, Father, a soul had a vision for souls, Lord, that would go out, Lord, go out among the Indians, Father, and walk for miles and miles through the forest. Get down in a log, Father, and pray. God, Lord, your hand was upon him, Lord. Lord, pray, Lord, you give us. Lord, give us that strength, Father. Give us that vision, Lord. It has to be a vision, Father, that you give us, Lord. Give us a vision for this church, Lord. I believe you give our pastor a vision. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us, Lord, would have a vision too. And God, we all, Father, have a place in the body of Christ. And pray, Father, we just seek your face, Lord, and do, God, what you've called us to do. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.